You know, they say from Pinchas Karitzer, they have there's a kavod from Pinchas Karitzer that he said that the avoda before and Pesach we're given such iris and such meichen, then the only way to receive the gift of Pesach, it's like a seed. In order for a seed to become a tree, it has to become like icy. It has to lose itself. It has to become completely bottled in the ground. The Gemara says in Ida that when you put a seed into the ground, it rots away. It's mamash be nothing. And then something altogether different and bigger can emerge. So Pinchas Karitzer said that in order for a person to really mamash get the Aris of Pesach, you have to be like a seed that's placed into a ground to mamash become nothing. And he says, that's the avoda. All the hachanis that we have before Pesach, each one, each mishpacha, you know, lefi bechinasam. The lashon of Pinchas Karitzer was that a person has to work to prepare for Pesach al kedei kach that you forget yourself. You mamash forget who you are. It's just completely bottled in the work itself. So, if any of us, so if you felt that way until now, ashrach v'tayv lach, and should continue like that until until mamash the seder, and then you become a tree. That's the way it goes. Okay, so with that being said, last week feels like a million years ago. And so I'm going to try to remember what we talked about last week and to be mamshich with that. Okay, so I think last week what we started with was a chiddush from the Baal HaTanya. Right? We know in the Haggadah, just to chazer quickly, the Haggadah says, and it's one of the basic fundamental mitzvahs of, or sort of framings of Pesach night b'chlal, is b'chol d'avodar, chayav adam liris ha'atzmai ki ulyas v'mitzrayim. It's an obligation Pesach night to see yourself as if it's mamish, you're leaving Mitzrayim. Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeis Mitzrayim, it says in Pasuk, that Hashem is taking me out. So Tanya, as we're going to see in a moment, the Sefer Tanya, when he quotes that line, he adds in a couple of words, b'chol dar v'dar, u'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, chayav adam liris ha'atzmai, kil yotz Mitzrayim. There's a chiv every single day to see yourself leaving Mitzrayim. So that's a huge chiddush. That's a huge chiddush to extend that idea to every single day. So that's what we were trying to at least begin to sort of lay the foundation last week to be able to understand, because clearly the Baal HaTanya is not saying that every single day there's a chiyuv to eat matzah and to lean and, you know, and to literally see yourself like you left the place of Mitzrayim. Clearly what the Baal HaTanya is telling us is that the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim runs deeper than just physically leaving that place. And if you identify what the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim means, then we'll be able to see how that is an obligation daily, and it defines our general avodas Hashem daily. And so that's what we began to discuss last week. What's the pnimius of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why were we in Mitzrayim to begin with? And what exactly what exactly is gained from the experience? And what are we supposed to come out with? So the kitzur, what we explained last week is that according to Ari HaKadosh, to make a long story short, because I don't want to bog you down with the complexity of it, but what we saw last week basically was that according to Arizal, the inyan of Golos Mitzrayim was to at least begin the process of fixing the chait of Adam and Chava. That was primarily what the issue was. Now what we saw last week was in detail is that that chait, whatever that inyan was of Adam and Chava, it expressed itself in sort of two different ways. And we saw last week, we spoke about Arichas, how those two different ways of whatever this issue was with Adam and Chava, how those two different ways sort of reemerged in a number of generations, the Mabel, the Haflaga, Sadaim, and all beginning to, and each generation sort of, you know, sort of enhance the problem, you know, but the generation of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, we finally began to fix the problem. And so the two ways that this chait of Adam and Chava expressed themselves was one with eating of the tree, which fundamentally is about saying, I am God, and I'm in control, and I want to be like God, you know, that type of thing, like a kfir dikinyan. And the other way it expressed itself was this disconnect between Adam and Chava for 130 years, post-sin, that they separated for 130 years, and sort of the disalignment between male and female. That's what we spoke about. So what was the nekuda? So last week we explained, based on the Kamarna, that the ikur nekuda of the chait of Adam and Chava that then expressed itself in these two ways was the following nekuda, was to believe in the fact that everything that we experience, everything we have is from the Creator and is guided by Him and watched by Him, but ultimately everything we experience is not simply an interaction with Him. were a way for him to connect to us. Rather, there's God, there's us, and there's things that he gives us. Once there's that basic disconnect, there's us and there's God, and there's the things that he gives us, what we call last week about Shafa. Like there's the Rabbanu Shalom, he's the source of all the things that we have. He's watching and v'chul v'chulu. But at the end of the day, what is it that I'm experiencing when I eat food? Like what is it that I'm experiencing when I walk down the block? Well, you know, what I'm experiencing is food, and what I'm experiencing is just the sights and sounds of walking down the block. Of course, the food ultimately goes back to a creator, and the sights and sounds, I guess, are being watched by the creator, but I'm not experiencing the creator. That's the chet of Adam and Chava. And once that kernel of disconnect is implanted in humanity, then it's only a matter of time until humanity says, but I don't want to be watched by this omnipresent being. I don't want to have to think that every single thing I do is being like... I already feel independent. I'm trying to eat my meal, and all of a sudden I have to think that there's someone watching me. It's uncomfortable. So I'd rather not that. So you could have the Dar HaFlaga, you know, trying to, you know, wage war against this omnipresent being. You know? Or another way that it expressed itself was this disconnect between male and female, because male and female, that relationship is not just about tossing things to your partner, to your partner and toss things back. It's not just that. It's connection. It's a bond. Everything that you do for your spouse and so on, for the people that you love, it's not just the things that you give. It's what it means. It's the relationship that's being expressed through the things that you give and through that bond. And so that the problem of Adam and Chava was fundamentally a disconnect between male and female. You know, and that this is ultimately what the problem was. And what we saw last week was that this is the nekuda of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the inyan of Golus Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Was this shift from seeing the world as just created by God, watched by Him, guided by Him, all that very, very nice things. But what I'm experiencing is ultimately not Him. What I'm experiencing are the things that He provides for me. V'chulu v'chulu. The chiddush of Pesach, the chiddush of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that when you eat food, you're not just eating food that's given to you by the Creator. This is how the Creator is attaching himself to you is through that food. What you're experiencing is a yichud, not just shefa. It's the contact of infinite to finite. The infinite to finite. That point of contact. That's what Pesach reveals to us. That's the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim meant and still means looking at the world as just. Things of this world that come from a higher place. That's why Mitzrayim, I mentioned this before, Mitzrayim was a place that was overrun with like witchcraft and the occult and all that stuff. So that because witchcraft, Chazal say that kshuf and the word kishuf, right? So the Chazal said the word kshuf and comes to the word machish, which means to fight against. Machish and pamal yishal ma'ilu. The Gemara says that kishuf is like sort of acknowledging that everything comes from heaven, from a spiritual source. That's how Kishuv is dealing with like the spiritual origins of things, but trying to sort of finagle your way to get stuff without having to keep Torah and mitzvahs, you know? That whole idea is predicated on this pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim assumption, which is there's heaven, and like there's like faucets up there, you know what I mean? And you have to just, you know, put the token in the right slot, and like the faucets will open up, and Shefa comes down, and you give the right tzedakah to the right organizations, and you know, we'll get a minion of tzaddikim to go to a kever for you and daven, and that's, you know, and the Shefa comes, and then there you go. So you're good to go. So you just turn down the faucet, and that's it. So come the kishuv machers of Mitzrayim, right? All the sorcerers say, you know what, we have a different eitzah. We could get the faucet to turn on without having to give a donation to whatever it is and get the tzaddikim to go to Meron for you. We could get it in a different way. We'll slaughter some chickens, whatever it is that we'll do, we'll make some incantations. It also has a way of turning the faucets. Because the whole Indian is just getting the faucet to turn on and get you the parnasa that you want, right? Isn't that what it's all about anyway? So they have a different eitzah. So that's all kishif. That's all coming from this whole chet of eitz hadas, which is like, one second, that there's me, and I have my wants, my desires. There's God, he has his wants, his desires, and like we have to make this like deal. I need the parnasa, I need the health, you know what I mean? I need the nachas, whatever it is. God has all that. Then for some reason, he wants an exchange. He wants my davening. So I daven shachris mincha ma'ariv, I put the token in the thing, and the nachas comes. Okay, so that, and from there comes that could lead to an anger and to a frustration of like, what do I need this for? Like you, I didn't ask to be created. Like I didn't ask for all this. The whole thing. So it comes with anger. It could come with a disconnect. That itself means a disconnect between husband and wife. That's not a loving marriage. You understand? That's not a good. That's a business relationship. That's not a marriage. You know what I'm saying? So that itself means that us and the Rabbanu Shalom, which is a Bechinas Chas and Kal, is very disconnected. So what's Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim is there's no such thing as Keshef. Yitzias Mitzrayim, if you simply read the Psukim, and a major theme that sticks out at you when you read the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Hashem making this thing to disprove the power of the witchcraft of Egypt. Why is Hashem, like, what do you care? Like, what's the difference? The answer is that undermining the power of witchcraft means undermining the very assumption of reality that witchcraft is based on, which is that there's shefa that just needs like faucets to be turned on. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says a ma'isa with was it Ruchni ben Daisa? I think it was Ruchni ben Daisa. The Gemara says that there were certain witches that they had. They wanted to put spells on Ruchni ben Daisa. This is like it was real. There's always the opinion of the Rambam that this stuff was baloney. But the Pasha says, no, there was such a thing as Kishuf. There still possibly is, and there's such a thing. And the way, in order to cast a spell on Rechidim and Daisa, or on anyone, what they did, what they needed was, the when a person stepped on the ground, if they took the dirt that the person stepped on, they'll be able to cast spells on the person. And so everyone was always avoiding these ladies, you know, because they would cause problems. Rechidim and Daisa noticed that they were interested in causing him problems. And he walked right in front of them, and he said, "Take whatever you want. Take all you want. Ein oid mulvada ksif. Ein oid mulvada. So what does it mean, ein mulvada? Mamanushach. For other people, the kishuf worked. For him, it doesn't. Ein mulvada. What does ein mulvada have to do with no kishuf? That's the nakuda. The whole idea of kishuf is assuming this dynamic, which is, there's me, again, there's God, and there's the stuff that he sends my way. Okay, so then there's there's room in that dynamic for Kishuf. But if there's Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is that all the Etzbe Lakimi, all the Kishuf of Mitzrayim is a complete baloney, meaning what? That all of this is a mistake. The Etzem Einam Avad, and is all there is in reality is Yichud Kishuf Bir Hashchente. All there is Chasin and Kal. All there is the Rabbanu Shalom and us, in a state of dvekas. That's all there is. How does that dvekas materialize? All the things of this world are just levushim. They're just clothing and just ways in which that ultimate connection between that which is infinite and us and our neshamas is able to express itself and give a levush to it. But that's etzem, fundamentally all there is one thing. Again, that's why the end of the Haggadah, we have all these funny songs, right? Echa Miyadeh and so on. So it's like you're describing the complexity of life and all, you know, numbers, which, you know, gives rise to all different things and so on. But at the end of the day, it boils down to Echad Elokeinu Shebo Shamayim Va'aretz. And Chad Gad, yeah. So you have Echad Elokeinu. So the Echad Miyadeh means that all there is the one God. Chad Gad means all there is Knesset Yisrael. So that means all there is God and Knesset Yisrael. And the rest is just packaging. The rest is just, you know, giving expression to what this yichud is. That's all there is. Eina mulvada. So it doesn't make a difference if these witches take dirt from under your grounds. Nafkamin. It's eina mulvada. That's the site of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And so this, as we're gonna see now from the Tanya, this shift of understanding what reality is and what is it that you're experiencing with everything that you experience, this is not only a challenge. This is not only something that we sort of embrace once a year. This is, at the end of the day, this is behind the scenes of every single avoda that a Jew ever does. This is the ikra avoda of Knesset Yisrael, to change the world from a place of where there's shefa to a place of yichud. That's it. That's Sach HaKol. In the writings of the Kabbalim, this is often described as moving from back to back to face to face. When in a relationship back to back, So you could be aware of the person behind you, but your eye, you're seeing other things. So it could be, so you're aware of the other person, but like Lamaisa, there's other stuff also. So it's not face-to-face means that's all there is. And so the Ikar in Avodas Hashem is to move from back-to-back with Rabbanu Shem to face-to-face. Face-to-face means that everything is a part, that all there is Yichud Kedushah B'Shechinta. That's it. That's it by the Mekubalim. Every single, whether it be a Shehakel to Tekiah Shofar and everything in between. The Tachlis of all of this is one thing, which is Yichud Kedushah B'Shechinta, for us to be able to experience the Rabbanu Shel Olam and what that point of contact feels like. So sometimes it feels like a good cup of water. Sometimes it feels like listening to the sound of the shofar. But those are all just different expressions of one simple truth, which is Einai Movada, Yichud Kedushah B'Shechinta. That's it. That's it. And that's the Chiddush of Pesach. Pesach, that's why is it that by Pesach there's such an inyan? The mitzvah is V'gat L'Bincha, right? To say over a Sibur Tis Mitzrayim. But it's an amazing thing. Built into the mitzvah is to say it based on the measure of the person hearing you. So, which is, in other words, so a Ben Chacham, you say complicated things, right? To a Tam, to a simple kid or young, whatever it is, uneducated, then you have to keep it simple. That's a very strange thing. First of all, like it's my mitzvah. It's not the kid's mitzvah. It's the adult's mitzvah to say over the story. So, if I have a mitzvah, like in the Rambam, so let me break it down to you like this. The mitzvah is to say it, okay? Now, in other words, even by yourself, like, afilo kolonu chacham, kolonu nevoinim, right? There's a mitzvah to be mar, kolomarach, kolomarach, l'savas yisrael, raise a meshubach. So if you're a chacham, and you could talk about mamash la'oimek of the pnimius of Yisrael Mitzrayim, then that's your obligation. And if kolomarach, raise a meshubach. Happens to be, there's a side component, which is that you should also be relating it to another person. But if this other person is unable to receive everything I have, then I should limit my mitzvah. I mean, the way, if you take, in other words, I'll explain a little bit more. In the Rambam, when he breaks down the mitzvah of Sipri Tzitz Mitzrayim, this is how he breaks it down. Like, number one, halacha aleph, there's a mitzvah on you to talk. There's a mitzvah on you to be mesap every Tzitz Mitzrayim. Like, to talk about Tzitz Mitzrayim, to go through the inyan. That's your mitzvah. Halacha bey, says the Rambam, since it says v'gadol bincha, means the best framework to do that is by saying it over to someone else. If that's the dynamic, then it's very, very strange that I should limit my mitzvah and my ability to be mekayim it because it happens to be that the person in front of me is not so educated. And it's more than that. It's like somehow that's the mitzvah then. It's like my entire mitzvah of going through the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, instead of having the opportunity to go through all the midrashim and chazals and say different marachas and mamish, like complicated stuff, my mitzvah is defined based on who's listening to me. And it's not, he's not even obligated, this kid or this girl. They're not even obligated. The whole thing is a pella. So why is that? Well, the answer is because, again, the nature of Sibri, what's the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That we're moving from information and from zachin and from shefa to yichud. So the whole inning of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the bond that's created through these words. That's the inyan. That's the mitzvah. So of course it's not like if the mitzvah is. Put it this way, you know, it's like the Haggadah points out. Afilo kolana chacham kolana navainu kolani manzatara. There's still a chiyuv. Why? Like why? Like they know the information already. Why is Rabbi Akiva spending the whole night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? He could be doing a lot more. He could accomplish a lot more. Like he went through these sugyas already. So I understand there's an inyan, there's a mitzvah, but it stresses. Afilu kolanu chachamim. The answer is because it's not about the information. It never was. It's about getting to this point of yichud, and even for a Talmud Chacham, even for someone like Rabbi Akiva, it's not about the Ribui Dvarim. It's about where the Ribui Dvarim takes him. There's a certain point, there's a certain place in Nishmas Rabbi Akiva where Pesach has to bring him. And the Haggadah, the obligation of the Haggadah is to bring a person to that place of Yichud. So where does, so afilu kolanu chacham, kolanu nevoinim, kolanu yodim esatayra, you still have to be brought to that place of Yichud Kedushah B'Shechinta. And the way to do that is by talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, since the whole inyan is Yichud, so then if the Torah says, relate to this person in front of you, so if I'm speaking over this guy's head, then what that's going to be a vessel for the experience of Yichud. The holiness of Yichud is oneness and is face to face with the Rabbanu Shel Manas, face to face. Everything else is commentary. So the way I'm going to reach that is by engaging the person in front of me and ignoring what they're able to receive. I mean, the whole inyan is yichud. At least that's what the mitzvah of Pesach night is custom made to that. Again, this is the point of every mitzvah. Every mitzvah is to bring to that place of yichud kishbun shchente, and as we'll see in a moment, that's what it means when the Baal Tanya said, b'chol davar daru, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, chayiv adam l'rsatzme kilu yatsum mitzrayim. We asked the question last week, so when do you fulfill that? On Pesach night, we fulfill seeing yourself like you left Mitzrayim when you're leaning. And when you're acting like a king, when do you fulfill that on average Monday? The answer is that's every if you do every if you're fulfilling mitzvahs in Yiddishkeit properly, that's what it means. Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what it means. You're moving from seeing the world as just something that God created to seeing the world as an expression of God Himself. That's what Yitzias Mitzrayim means. Going from like leaving space for Kishuv. To Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, Einam Levadai. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's the obligation that's behind the scenes of every mitzvah. Let's take a look inside. So the Maror HaKadosh said you have.
It would be like Hashem Yichud, Kuchbrit L'Shchinte, meaning the Shchin is our concept of Hashem. We're being miyachad with reality.
We're changing.
We don't say the Hashem Yichud, Kuchbrit L'Shchinte Yisrael.
Shchinte is Yisrael. It's the same thing. It's a code word for that. Knesset Yisrael is Shchina.
The Rav said that before. Like, what is that?
That we need a new series. That we need a whole series for. But that's the idea over here. Is that's what every mitzvah, without getting into the technical terms of Kuch Shabir Cheshchente, that's what every mitzvah and every aspect of Hashem is to bring us to that place, to recognize that whatever it is that we're experiencing is just a way through which the Rabbanu Shel Olam is reaching out to us and trying to create that contact. Sometimes the contact is through Tkiyah Shofar, sometimes it's through a Shahakal, whatever it is. But that's the point is that interfacing, that's... That's what it means. Again, on a simpler level of Yichud Kishbir Shchinte. There's obviously layers to that, but take a look inside. The Baal Tanya will explain it for us. So this is basically Perek Mem Vav, the 46th chapter in Sefer Tanya. And this is where it comes from. So it says like this, Vine, B'kol Dover Dor, we'll just read it together. Vine, B'kol Dover Dor, in every generation, U'b'kol Yoyim V'Yoyim, and every single day, Chayiv Adam Liris Esatz Mekil Hu Yoytzi Hayoyim Mitzrayim. You have to see yourself as if today you're leaving Mitzrayim. What does that mean? So now the Baal Tanya explains, "V'yatzias nefesh olakis mimaser haguf." That means your neshama being able to escape from the prison of the body. Now you stop over there. That sounds like the person dying. But the Baal Tanya explains, "Mishcha dechavi," the body meaning the skin of the snake, referring back to the chait of Adam and Chava. "Licholo biyichud arin tzayif baruchu," in order to see yourself and to see your world and to become sort of lost. And part of that infinite light of Hashem that always was and always will be. And all this is through the Torah mitzvahs that you're doing daily anyway. Bechlal u'befrat. And specifically, b'kabol salmal chushumayim b'kriyishma. And specifically b'kriyishma. Because that's, again, what's kriyishma? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkin, Hashem Echad. What does it mean, Hashem Echad? Again, Hashem Echad means not just that there's one God as opposed to three. Hashem Echad means that that's all there is. And all my experience in life is ultimately just Hashem reaching out to me. Shabbo mekabel umam shechal v'yichuda yisbarach b'feirish. And this, and through Kriyishma, a person is accepting and bringing upon himself the oneness of Hashem. Ba'amrei, when you say Hashem alkein Hashem echad. Ukmash nizbar le'el, he spoke about this earlier on. Ke elakeinu, when you say, let's say for example, Hashem alakeinu. He says just an amazing point. And like if you think about it, Hashem is our God. What does it mean Hashem alakeinu? What as opposed to the Goyim? He's not their God. So what does it mean, Elokeinu? What does it mean, Elokeinu? So he says, Hukamoi Elokei Avram. When we say Elokeinu, it's similar to like when we say Hashem is the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, God of Yaakov. Also, what does that mean? Like Hashem is their God, not other people's God. So we're saying Hashem is the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and also our God too. What does it all mean? For Hashem to be called your God, let's say Elokei Avram. What does it mean when we say Hashem is the God of Avram Avinu? It means this Nakuda. It means that Avram Avinu changed his entire perspective and his entire identity from being just a created human being that acknowledges his master, his creator, to be nothing more than just a makabel from that mashpia. Like all there was the Rabbanu Shel Olam always interacting with him. There was no moment where there was no moment of not like Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad in Avraham Avinu's life, because everything he interacted with, it wasn't the pshat that Avraham Avinu just had like a strong sense of like he held on, he focused a lot. You know, like Chazal say that Avraham Avinu, the Avos HaKadoshim were the Merkava. They were chariot for Hashem. The Svarim say there wasn't a moment in the Avos HaKadoshim's lives where they were Mesiach Das from the Rabbanu Shalom. So what does that mean? It means more than just like they were always like aware of him. Like they're always just like, he's playing chess or whatever it is that he's doing. He's, driving, whatever it is. But he's like in the back of his mind, he's always just making sure like, okay, I have to remember that there's a God. It's not like that. There was a shift in Avraham Avinu. The shift in Avraham Avinu's life was, is like, that's all I'm experiencing anyway. Like, all I'm experiencing, and when you make that shift, then instead of there being this this load on a person's back, which is like, whatever it is I'm doing, I also have to think about something else in the background. Like, no, that's all this is. And then I could be completely focused on what I'm doing, and what I'm doing doesn't take away from the fact that I also am in the presence of Hashem, because that's what this is. This is just another experience in which Hashem is communicating to me, giving something to me, expressing himself, communicating. That's all this is. And that allows a person to fully be in the world and at the same time not being distracted from Hashem. When a person lives like that, that's called being a Merkava, being a chariot for Hashem. And then you're given the title of Elokei Avram. So when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what we're saying is that deep down, that's what we believe as well. We might fall out of it a little bit here and there, or whatever it is. But bemes, as Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, like we believe that that's the reality, that all that we're experiencing, that's why Avraham Avinu, see, that's the, again, just as collectively the Jewish people by Yetzias Mitzrayim were shifting from Shefa to Yichud, so on a more individual level, I guess you can say, Avraham Avinu was also that shift from before, for all the earlier tzaddikim, where it was also Shefa, to Avraham Avinu, where it's Yichud. That's why the earlier tzaddikim, they weren't able to live in this world. They weren't interested in being Makar of the world, right? They weren't Hachnasas Arachim, they weren't involved with that stuff. Why? Because if you're thinking Shefa, then you have to sort of, in order to be conscious of Hashem, then you have to be thinking two things at the same time. You have to be if you're going to be involved in the world, then you're going to, and to think about Hashem means you're going to be juggling. Because you're going to be thinking about what you have in this world. But what you have in this world is not Elikus. It's not an expression of Elikus. And so in order to think about Elikus, you have to sort of stop thinking about this world. And so that was the choice the earlier tzaddikim made, which is, I'm going to sacrifice my place in this world just to connect to Hashem. But the chiddush of Avraham Avinu was that you don't have to make that choice. Because everything of this world, that's like that's all there is Yichud Kedusha B'Chosh Shechinta. That's all there is the Rabbanu Shalom talking to you. He happens to be. He talks to you through this world too. So then there's no reason to be disconnected from this world. This is also a point of contact. It's no less than in heaven. That's why Avraham Avinu, Chazal say, Avraham Avinu was the one that made Hashem Elokei Haaretz. Not just Elokei Hashemayim. Again, what is Elokei mean? Elokei means that's Hashem's space. Instead of Hashem just being Elokei Hashemayim, it's Elokei Haaretz. The same, what just on a national level, that what the Jewish people had to sort of shift from pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim to post-Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to then receive the Torah. And by the way, what's the Chiddush of Har Sinai? The Chiddush of Har Sinai is not the fact that they had mitzvahs before Har Sinai. The Avos HaKadoshim kept the Torah. So what exactly is the Chiddush of Har Sinai? That we all just know about it. So let Hashem just slip a list under our door. We're oversleeping anyway, Shavuos morning, so let him just slip a list under the door. And this is the things that you should do. And it's not such a big deal. The Avos HaKadoshim did it too, so we're just letting you know. The answer is that's not the Chiddush of Har Sinai, knowing what the Targ Mitzvahs are. The Chiddush of Har Sinai is that before Har Sinai, the Avos kept the Torah, but it was like Ruchnius. The Chiddush of Har Sinai is that like there's an actual there's an actual physical thing called the mezuzah. And instead of mezuzah being a concept and being an inyan, a bechinas mezuzah, there's an actual mitzvah called the mezuzah. That's, again, that's an extension of this idea where everything is Yichud Kedusha B'Shechinta, and there's no reason why a klaf can't be part of that experience. That's, again, this is the shift between Shefa, from Shefa to Yichud. That's from back-to-back to face-to-face. That's the difference. That's why Avraham Avinu is specifically the one that is told by the Rabbanu Shalom, well, if you really want to, you know, embrace this avoida of being the one that's going to fix the chet of Adam and Chava, and to really bring the world to that place of where everything is simply echlo kinev shvashmayim v'aretz and chad gadya, and that's really all there is. Then you know what? Then your children are going to have to go through the Kor Barzel, the cathartic experience of Golas Mitzrayim, and they're going to come out with the seed that you have planted is going to mamash flourish because of their experience. And then they're going to be able to stand by Har Sinai and to be given the great gift of realizing that something physical can be an experience of Yichud. And that's all what Avraham Avinu began to work on in his own life to fix the chet of Adam and Chava. And that's what it's all about. This is the history. You think the Gemara says that one of the conditions of Sipri Tzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzitzit shvach, right? You have to start the negative and then say the positive. What's the negative? What's the positive? So it's machlokes in the Gemara. I think it's Rav and Shmuel. I think the Gemara says machlokes Rav and Shmuel, maybe. So one shita says, I don't remember which one, one shita says the negative positive is the slavery and exodus. That lechor makes sense. The other one says, no. The negative and positive is before Avraham Avinu, we were all life deva dezara. And now, v'achshel kervenu makom l'avidasai. And now the Rabbanu Shalom brought us close to his avaida. What shayches? This is a prat. This is an aspect of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in order to fulfill that, you have to talk about Avram Avinu's yichus, the Terach Avi Avram, Me'ever Hanor Avdo Avseinu. Me'ever Hanor that Avram Avinu comes from, that he comes from people that are avdo. What shayches? The answer is again, this is the Nekudah of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Nekudah of Yitzias Mitzrayim is taking the shift that Avram Avinu made from that world of Kfira, which was built on Shefa, to move into that place of Yichud. Yitzias Mitzrayim is developing that and bringing it to its perfection. And really, again, based on like what the Arizal said, is that in order to fully fix this mistake that Avram Avinu accepted on himself, that challenge, to fix that mistake, you have to be Misak in the Dar HaMabul, the Dar HaFlogah, and Shei Sedayim, and you have to, do all that Avoid, and that's what Golos Mitzrayim was. But it's all to develop that kernel that in order to really fix, the mistake of Shefa to move into Yichud, ultimately because Avram Avinu accepted upon himself to do that. And to really appreciate, therefore, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Golos Mitzrayim, you can't just talk about the Avdus. You have to talk about what was before Avram Avinu, because that's really what it's about. That's where it's coming from. Okay, so,
the mechanics of how this happened,
in what?
I'm saying, the Seder night, Pesach night, Hashem takes out Mitzrayim, it's a Gila Shina, I guess, but
yeah.
Where in that is where Klal Yisrael experiences this change?
Well, there's different, what's the word? I'm going to start in a different way then. Can't think of the word. So when the actual year that Pesach happened, like the actual, 3,000, whatever the years, so that was on a huge, historical level. That phenomenon then repeats itself every single year on a yearly level. So this shift or this strength that the Jewish soul now has to move from Shefa to Yichud, when actually Yitzias Mitzrayim took place, that made that shift collectively from the beginning of time to the end of time, allowing us to sort of really embrace that Avaida. And then on a more specific level, we zoom in every single year, that's Neschadish, that renews itself for each individual Jew by Seder night. Now the mechanics of it, that's really what all the Kavanas are about, and explaining why the Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, that's all, we don't have the time to go into that right now, but those are the mechanics of how that works.
In the original Ge'ula, what is it like Kleisel flipped the switch? Hashem did,
so,
did
the part, yeah, part of it was from the Rabbanu Shalom. Like again, that's what we spoke about last week of all the different tsaris that the Jewish people had to go through to sort of embrace that. But there was the Jewish soul was ready for that experience. Ultimately, again, it wasn't a Gula Shlema, which means that it was something that ultimately Hashem was sort of pushing along, and it wasn't fully baked because of us, and that's why it hasn't been fully finished yet. But that's the mechanics of it. Hey, let's go on. Let's finish up the piece over here. Yeah, l'fishay batav v'nichla b'yichad arin seif baruch hu. And that's what it means to l'kei Avraham. Kirak sh'Avram zachal l'zeh b'maisav. Again, Avram Avinu was zeichet to this through his actions. V'yiluchah b'kodesh and his growth and so on, madrega l'madrega. Avla nachnu yerusha matonu hilanu. This reality of us living in a life of where we're able and obligated to experience yichud, Avram Avinu was zeichet to that, and we are born into it. Shenasan lanos terasai, and these couple lines is the kicker. This is where he explains what it means. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shenasan lanos terasai. The Rabbanu Shalom gave us this Torah. V'hil bishba ritzani v'chachmasi yisbarach. And the Rabbanu Shalom, is malbish. He encloths within the Torah his ratzon, his will, his wisdom, and so on. Hamiyichadim b'mehusav atzmusi yisbarach, which is bound to who he is. B'tachlas ayichud. V'areza kilu nasan lanos atzmi kiviyachol. And that's the Nakuda. This is what Torah is. This is what life is post Yitzias Mitzrayim. Is that everything you experience, and specifically, it's the one that Torah misses, that's for sure. It's the Rabbanu Shalom giving you himself. And so realizing that allows you to fully embrace the thing that you're involved with, because this thing is now much more profound than you realized before. This is the vehicle that the Rabbanu Shalom is giving himself. It says in Pasuk, V'yichuli truma, right? Hashem says to the Jewish people, take from me a truma, right? Donations to build a Mishkan. Deli. And the Zohar says, Kloimer Oisi. In other words, Vichuli truma. And as take, when you're giving tzedakah, you're doing a mitzvah, and in that mitzvah is God Himself. So it's like you're taking Hashem. Kivyachal. Vizeshakasa, Vetitin Lanu. This is what he says, Gavaldik of Shad and Davening. He says, Vetitin Lanu Shem Elokeinu Bihava, right? As Yoim. Hashabbos is that, whatever the yontif is, Yom HaZikaron is that, whatever. So he says, what's Peshad? V'titin lanu, Hashem Elokeinu v'yahava. His question is, what do you have to say the words Hashem Elokeinu? V'titin lanu v'yahava. V'titin means you. And so obviously we're talking to Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei. Who else are you talking to? We have to say the words Hashem Elokeinu for. The Chiddush, no, V'titin lanu, Hashem Elokeinu. That Hashem, you've given us yourself. How did you give us yourself? And Shabbos and Yontif and whatever it is that you're talking about in that Shemoneh Esrei, but what's being given to you is Hashem Elokeinu. Kibar Panecha Nasata Lanu, what? Hashem Elokeinu. That's what it means. Not just Kibar Panecha Nasata Lanu Hashem Elokeinu. Taras Chayim Ve'Aves Chesed. So what is it Hashem Elokeinu for? Kibar Panecha Nasata Lanu Taras Chayim Ve'Aves Chesed. No. Bar Panecha Nasata Lanu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, you've given us yourself. Where did you give us? How did you give us yourselves? Yourself? B'taras Chaim, B'Avas Chesed. U'lezeh e'meinei alonu b'dveikas ha'nefesh b'yichud av aris parach el haratzen. And once you realize this, there's nothing stopping a Jew from dveikas, except just matter how much you want it. That's all. There's no circumstance that fundamentally stands in your way. There's no real minia. Because whatever it is that you're experiencing, that's the Rabbanu Shalom giving you himself. So what's holding you back? Okay, stop, you're not interested. Okay, so the ratzon. But if it's not if the ratzon is there, then there's no particular set of circumstances that's required to experience the vekas. Shemein adam roitzah klal chas v'shalom adav kabay. Okay, v'chul, fine. If you don't want it. Alami sheroitzah makabel umam shechal v'kusei spar v'oimer Hashem alakin Hashem echad. But the moment a person wants it and is able to say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Arimela Nechlels Navsha B'Yichud Yisparach, then you got it. Then automatically your answer is your request is answered, because that's all that you're experiencing. Deruach Haisi Ruach V'Am Shichruach. A spirit draws another spirit and they unite. V'hu B'chinis Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what it means, Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'lochin Tiknu Parshas Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Shas Kriya Shema Davka. That's why Chazal instituted to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim Davka in Kriya Shema. Avshi Mitzvah Fnei Atzma. Even though the remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim daily is its own mitzvah, so Chazal could have just established that 2 o'clock every afternoon, you just remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. But instead of doing that, they established it as part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. V'lo mitzvah Kriya Shema, k'nitzvah Gemara Paiskim. It's not part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, but Chazal established that you should fulfill it at the same time that you do Kriya Shema. Why? Avnei she'ein dover echad mamish. The answer is because it's one inyan. Saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is our God, just like Elokei Avraham, and everything we're able to experience is Him, and there's nothing stopping us from Dveikus except for our own Ratzin, that is Yitzias Mitzrayim. That itself is Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why, we fulfill remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim with that pasuk, and how does that pasuk end? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeisi Eschem Eretz Yisrael V'yosechem Ulekem. Right? Ani Hashem. Ainu Gamkin K'mashin Is Barleil. That's the same minyan that we said before. Now here, let me add one other nekuda, one element, and to bring this out a little bit more, or a little bit of a different side of it. There's, even though what we just saw from the Baal Tanya is like fundamental to every mitzvah, like every single point of Avodas Hashem is revolving on this nekuda of being able to shift gears from Shefa to Yichud, to get to that place of Yichud Kodesh B'Shchinta, and so on. But the greatest, probably the greatest, I don't want to say the word greatest, probably the one corner of Avodas Hashem that requires this, that this is the most fundamental for to fulfill properly, is davening, without a question, davening. Because the whole inyan of davening is this. This is the whole inyan of davening. What is davening? Davening is, we know, in place of karbonis. What was the carbon? Yeah, the meister nefesh to Hashem, really? So me standing three times a day, davening for my own stuff, and asking for my own needs, that's mesiris nefesh. What type of mesiris nefesh is that? What type of self-sacrifice? The answer is, unless you realize this nekuda, then you can't daven. Then there's no davening. The whole inyan of davening is revolving around this. You could learn without this. You could shake Lulav and Esrog without this. It's not. It's certainly not complete, and it's not whole, and it's deficient. But you can do it. There's no such thing as davening without this, because what is davening? Davening means when you're davening about your things, the only way for that to become an experience of avoida, of avoidas Hashem and attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom is only if you orient yourself to realize that the things that you're davening for are ways in which the Rabbanu Shalom comes into your life. And so what you're davening for, therefore, is to allow space for the Rabbanu Shalom into the world. What you're davening for is for the sake of the Shekhinah. What you're davening for is that there's... part of what you're davening for is the Rabbanu Shalom's ability to fully express himself. When a person, when someone loves someone or something, it's painful not to be able to express that. So the Rabbanu Shalom loves us. The Rabbanu Shalom wants to come into our world. The Rabbanu Shalom, and the Rabbanu Shalom, for whatever reason, because of our, whatever the cheshbonos are, there's some blockage in Bani Chai Mizaini. And so when there's a blockage in Bani Chai Mizaini, it's not stam, there's something missing in my life. That means that the Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinteh is missing. The Rabbanu Shalom is unable to fully express himself with all these different ways. And that's Rachmanis on him. What you're davening for is that. That becomes an experience of mesiris nefesh. That becomes an experience of wanting to allow the mashpia to be mashpia. Like that takes on a whole different. That's what davening truly is. That's the point of dvekas. So the highest point of davening. That's the most amazing thing, right? When you go through davening. So davening starts off very spiritual. Pesukah de Zimra. You're talking about, you know, things, praising God, all that stuff. Then you go to Kriyishma, and Kriyishma is even higher than that, and Kriyishma is even more spiritual than Malachim. And then they get to the highest point of Dveikus with Hashem, which is Shemoneh Esrei. And what do you talk about? Stuff over here. Me'igur Ramal Bira Mikta. From the highest place to the lowest place. I thought Shemoneh Esrei is the highest. It should be the most spiritual. You should be talking about even things higher than Malachim. So why are you talking about things of this world? The answer is because the real site of davening is this realization of being able to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Is what you're saying is, not Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, but you're saying Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, you're saying that about my that the Rabbanu Shalom to me is the same way as he was to Avraham Avinu and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. In other words, that everything in my life is nothing more, it's animal vada. Everything is Yichud Kodesh B'Shchinteh, and so therefore I'm able to fully embrace talking about things of this world, and it doesn't distract me from the fact that I'm talking about the Rabbanu Shalom and his presence, because it's the same minyan. That's the highest thing of davening. So davening is therefore deeply bound to Yitzchak Mitzrayim. But you see this, by the way. There's a Rav Nachman writes this. I thought of this, you know, just right before I came in. So Rav Nachman writes in Torah. You don't have this in front of you, but in Torah Zion, in Ois Aleph in Torah Zion, he says like this. Just a couple lines. He says, "Ikar Amuna, b'chinas Tfila, b'chinas Nisim." B'chinas Nisim, ein ol b'Eretz Yisrael. Basically, I mean, I don't know. Basically, Rav Nachman says is like this. He says that in order to really daven, you have to, you can't really believe in Teva. To daven means you have to believe in Nisim. You have to believe in Nisim. And Reb Nachman says, and where's the place of Nes? Nisim, Eretz Yisrael. That's where Nisim, that's the headquarters of Nisim. And where's the place of like anti-Nisim? Mitzrayim. And therefore, says Reb Nachman, the whole inyan of Yitzis Mitzrayim was in order to allow us to fully move from the place of complete Teva, which is Mitzrayim, to a place that's completely Malmi Derech HaTeva of Nisim, which is Eretz Yisrael, to allow us to daven. So the whole inyan of Yitzis Mitzrayim is to allow you to daven. That's what you find, by the way, that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Boy, when the final three Makkos, you know, are happening, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, or the last one of the seven Makkos, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Pare, like, you know, when I leave the city, I'll daven for you. Why do you leave the city? So Rashi brings down from Chazal, because in Mitzrayim, you can't daven. You can't daven in Mitzrayim. It's full of Avodah Zarah. You can't daven in Mitzrayim. Why is that like a point over here? I'm sure there's many more conversations that Moshe and Pare had. Like, why is this being highlighted? The answer is because that's the inyan. The inyan is the freedom of davening, to release davening from his prison. What does davening have to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim? The answer is that's what we're talking about. You can't daven unless you're living in that place of Yichud Shebishchinta. Yitzis Mitzrayim is freeing davening from its prison. To truly allow a person to daven, you need Yitzis Mitzrayim. Take a look at Marmukim number two. So he says like this. This is from Rav Tzadik in Sefer Rassis Elijah, just very quickly. So he says, "Atfilu midvarm ha'in derum shel olam." I've quoted this piece before. It's just a beautiful Torah. "Atfilu midvarm ha'in derum shel olam." The Gemara says a davening is something that stands at the highest place in the world. "Ubnei adam mezalzlim," and people don't take it seriously. So what does that mean? So says Rav Tzadik, it doesn't mean people don't take davening seriously. "Pirish bnei adam teshkum ba'olam hazeh," people that are stuck in the physical world. Nimshach zilzul, they disgrace something. What are they disgracing? The mistake that people make is to think that all I'm talking about is physical stuff. What I'm talking about are things of this world, and I'm not talking about himel de gazachim. But that's the mistake. The mistake is, people are not disgracing davening. They're disgracing the things that they're davening for. They don't take what they're davening for seriously enough. Because a person thinks, well, I'm davening for is things of my life. And why do you think the things of your life are insignificant? Because it's only my life. That's not true. Everything of this world is Rabbanu Shlomo expressing himself. That means that everything that you're lacking is the biggest thing in the world. There's no difference between this world and the next. And the difference is Zinikra Hazeh. This world is called Olam Hazeh, meaning Pirish HaNigla, the world that we see. So Nikra Habba, Pirish HaNelam. But that's all the difference. This is the amazing line. The Rebbeinu Shem did not create anything in this world in order that we should forget about him. The Rebbeinu Shem didn't make anything that's fundamentally a mechitza between him and us. Therefore, everything that Hashem created that we need, those things are bets and the most kosher things in the world. And so that's what you're davening for. But again, that experience is freed through Yitzis Mitzrayim. That's what Yitzis Mitzrayim means. Now let me add in one last nekuda to explain one aspect of Pesach based on this, which is one aspect of Pesach, a major, if not the most important aspect of Pesach, is to stay away from chametz. What's the thing of staying away from chametz? So again, I'm not explaining so much why it's chametz in particular, but see, all of this needs to be guarded. This idea that we've been talking about of Yitzis and Shrayim needs to be this is not an easiest idea, so we'll see what we can do with it in mamash 2 minutes. All of this can be very much... this can be hijacked. This idea can be hijacked in a negative way. Because all of this, as we Mamish just explained, gives incredible chashivas to this world. Because what we're saying is that everything that you experience in this world is Mamish, like Reb Tzadik says, everything of this world is the highest thing in the world, is the most important thing in the world. That is a very sensitive idea. Because if that is... if that is heard by unsensitive ears, then what that translates as is that like Gashmias is like the most amazing thing, and we should just like have as much good things as possible, and just like, you know, everything of this world is Gevalt. So it can easily be, so a person has to be like sort of sensitized, you know, to be able to appreciate this idea of Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta, because when this idea of Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta is fully expressed, it gives unbelievable significance to this world. And when that significance to this world is sort of separated from its basis, which is Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta, then what that results in is just a person like throwing oneself into taivas and olam hazeh and just becoming a physical person. And so this is why on Pesach, which is everything we're talking about, we dafka stay away from chametz. Chametz, which is something that's not usher the rest of the year. So that means chametz always represents like pleasures of this world, right? That's a classic explanation. Chametz represents, that's just not the Yetzer Hara. Chametz represents like, you know, the pleasures of life. So why are we refraining from that to a certain degree on Pesach? The answer is because on Pesach, the ultimate goal is to get to Shavuos, where we take a Shtei HaLechem of Chametz, and the carbon of Pesach is actually Chametz. The carbon of Shavuos is Chametz stick. So it's like ironic. In order to get, Pesach is to get to Shavuos, and on Shavuos, the carbon is Chametz. But in order to get there, we have to stay away from Chametz. The answer is that's the idea over here. To truly allow oneself to embrace the pleasures of this world, you have to first fully inculcate within yourself that ultimately it's all rooted in Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta. And when that idea of Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta is fully baked, which is without being distracted by the chametz, then you could allow yourself to really enjoy the chametz. Just like Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu, everything was Elokei Avram, that's what allowed him to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into this world. So you have to sort of go through those 7 days of separation from chametz to allow the rest of the year to be fully embrace that chametz. But the tachlis is chametz. That's the tachlis. The tachlis is not to remain separate, but to once you fully inculcate that Yichud Kedushas Baruch Shchinta, then Bez Hashem you'll be able to have that. Okay. The kitzur, this is all, like I said last week, this is all nice ideas and so on, but it pales in comparison to just eating matzah. You sit down, Bez Hashem, just a matter of days, you sit down, you lean, eat matzahs, mamish, digesting a lakus and emunah and bringing you to that place. This is all just to give nice words and so on, you know. We have to learn before Pesach. The ikur is mekayim mitzvos hayom, believe in yontif, believe in the mitzvahs, believe in the iris of Pesach. And Bez Hashem will become changed people because of that. All right, shkoyach. Hashem.
Why would you use...